On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we delve into the Bengals' victory over the dumpster fire that is the Cleveland Browns and cover the rest of the NFL weekend, highlighting major injuries and the Patriots' dominance finally coming to an end. We also talk NCAA football with the Buckeyes cruising easily against Rutgers and UC losing to Marshall. Mac puts Butch Jones on the hot seat, and we find out that LeVar Ball is a man of the people. OJ Simpson is out of jail, and we promise not to make any juices loose jokes. We end the show with our MLB playoff predictions. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 3rd, and the Cincinnati Bengals are back from the dead.
All right. Hooday!
Is it too early to start playing for the Super Bowl? I mean,
I think if they can, I don't know, if they can play the Browns 12 more times, I think they got a shot to make the playoffs. Now,
so I have a theory. I threw it out on Twitter, and so far this entire season has played out to be true. The Bengals are undefeated with their black jerseys. They haven't won with white jerseys. So, obviously, they can only control six more games because they're the home team in six more games. But if they don't wear black jerseys in each and every one of those games, they're absolute idiots.
We know they're going to probably mix in orange twice.
Yes. I know. So, that's two more losses. So, I guess we're looking at a... So, we have to hope that other teams wear white at home against us so we can get those road wins. But I mean, I mean, find a flaw in that theory.
You can't argue it right now. You can't.
Black jerseys equals wins. White jerseys equals loss. Orange, who knows yet?
TBD.
But yeah, Andy looked good. It seems like maybe the changes that they've made in their philosophy are prove some success for Andy early on.
That he philosophy of make sure you play the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
can he win comeback player of the year if like he was supposed to be okay and then he went down like during the same season and came back, or does it have to be like, you know, you missed some time in the season previously?
I think that you should be eligible for that. I mean, it's a ballsy move to tank like that early on, but if it gets you an award where you get to go, I don't even know who sponsors the comeback player award.
I don't know, probably Kia or something.
Kia. So I don't know. All their money's in the NBA.
Dr. Pepper.
That's true.
Yeah, they're giving scholarships to kids that throw footballs weird. No, but that was good to see Andy come back and play the way he did after the second half, how he petered out in the second half in Green Bay. He looked great. The first pass was incomplete, but then I think he completed his next 14, right?
Yeah.
And then he came out in the second half and had a little bit of a... Not, I mean, he wasn't playing terrible, but a couple of incompletions, and then that pass he threw, I mean, he had a couple of passes that were just, you know, on the money and did not look like the Andy we saw the first 3 weeks of the season.
No.
Yeah.
He did get lucky at one point that LaFell played some defense for him.
Yeah,
threw a pick right to the Browns' DB, but LaFell broke it up and ended up being incomplete. Yep. But yeah, on the whole, I mean, he looked pretty good, so... We'll see, you know, how much that is just Cleveland being terrible and how much is that him getting confidence back and him getting, you know, just starting to get back into a rhythm with the receivers. I think a lot of it probably has to do with the Browns not being able to get much pressure on him, too, because that seems to be his Achilles heel right now.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to test that theory when they've got the Colts next week, too. So we might not know until after the bye week if the Bengals – or no, the Bills are next week, aren't they? The Bills are next week. Yeah. Well, the Bills are actually tough. Why did I think the Colts
– today?
I don't know.
Where the hell did the Colts come from?
Maybe they're on TV right now?
No, I don't know. I'm not even watching it. Maybe it's a blue jersey thing. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, I looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, I thought Bills, okay, that's an easy one. We'll have, you know, back-to-back guaranteed wins, Browns, Bills. But Bills are looking
tough
right now.
First place. The Patriots are crumbling. We should have declared the Patriots dead.
Yeah. And the Patriots are dead.
We'll splice that in if we have to. No, but the Patriots, they barely squeaked past the Texans last week, which turns out maybe was more of an accomplishment than we originally thought.
Yeah, the Texans were
Texans went off today. But then,
yeah, I don't feel as bad about the Bengals losing to the Texans on Thursday night earlier in the year.
Yeah. But the Patriots couldn't squeak it out against the Panthers today in Foxborough. So it wasn't like every now and then you see the Patriots let one get away from them on the road. But this is a game that every time I kept checking back in, the Patriots were either down or they were like right there with them, and it turned into a field goal at the end of the game for the Panthers to win. But I didn't see Carolina going into New England and winning.
This isn't
a game that the Patriots usually lose, so I don't...
Especially the way that Cam's been playing early in the season. Yeah. He hasn't looked like Cam Newton that we...
Yeah.
He was pretty bad last year, but, you know, before that, he was MVP-type player.
Right.
Did you see the clip of him after the game was over? He was walking into the locker room, and someone had a camera on him, and he was yelling at the media, basically saying, like, no, I'm not doing any interviews. You guys didn't want to do it with me before the game, so I'm not doing one after the game. Yep. Just walked right into the locker room.
You like that?
Yeah. But this looked like one of those typical, like, Tom Brady's going to be the man again and make the comeback, because in the fourth quarter, they were down 30-16. They got two unanswered touchdowns to come back and tie it up, but then the Panthers went down and won it with a game-ending field goal. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
I never realized it actually was 30-16.
They were up big at one point.
I did not know that. I think I saw the game early on, and then I saw a game towards the end. I wasn't paying much attention in that middle spot.
Yeah, they were down two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So
naps happen.
They made the comeback, but they couldn't finish it.
We just don't know what a third and fourth quarter comeback looks like because we're Bengal fans.
No, we've seen that a couple times. The Packers did it just last week against the Bengals.
Turns out it might not be such a big deal, but not that my Super Bowl pick, the Titans, were looking to actually hold true on my word and make it to the Super Bowl this year. Mariota got hurt, and it's not as serious as it originally looked, but Derek Carr went down as well for DB Super Bowl pick in the Raiders.
Yeah.
There was about an hour window there where I thought mine and DB's AFC picks were out the window. Mine already is.
Yeah,
the Titans are not going to be the Super Bowl representative, I can't imagine. But
you guys don't think E.J. Manuel can pull it off?
No.
Old Carr's backup?
No.
he's terrible.
Carr's going to be all right, though. It sounds like he just had some back spasms.
This is the one that's probably...
hamstring.
So I saw the Derek Carr injury, but I did not see the Mariota injury. I know you said that you thought it was a hammy, but...
Yeah,
it looked.
He's got an MRI scheduled for, I guess when you're listening, this will be yesterday, but he's got an MRI scheduled for Monday to, I guess, assess what the damage is. So I don't really think they know yet. It's just a hamstring injury. But for a quarterback, especially a guy like Mariota, who, you know, he relies partly on his mobility, that could be tough. So he may miss some time.
Right.
And as we're reporting this, Mariota's MRI yesterday came back with some concerns. We don't know what his limitations will be, but we're going to say it's 1 week to a season.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. So I found this interesting. This is the second year in a row that Mariota and Carr both got injured on the same day.
Yeah, it was like last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year was Christmas Eve. They both, I guess, broke their legs. And so now they're both getting hurt on the same day again this year, too. So
it's funny how you sync up like that.
Did you guys see Delvin Cook's injury?
No,
he tore his ACL,
nasty.
Right?
Yeah, that looked nasty. It was non-football contact injury, and he just, like, went down. And,
that sucks, because he was doing great.
He was tearing it up.
For the first three games, he had more rushing yards than any Vikings rookie at that point. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sucks that's to be crazy. Him.
I wonder how many guys puked.
Yeah, that's true. They can't handle those injuries like that up in Minnesota. A little squeamish.
Somebody who always looks like they're going to puke, Jay Cutler, got maybe the kiss of death vote of confidence today from his head coach, Adam Gase. I don't know that I buy into that being a kiss of death this time around because the circumstances are weird. But usually when you hear someone get a vote of confidence like this, it's not a good thing.
No, he's awful. Like,
did you guys see his Wildcat?
Yeah,
today?
He just kind of like that one.
That was hilarious.
He was out at a receiver in the Wildcat, and they ran the play, and he stood hands on hips. Like, even as the play ran, he never even moved from that position. So he could not give less of a fuck. Like,
my favorite part, too, is he was looking inside the whole time. Yeah. Like, and it's an inside handoff. Like, here it comes.
Yeah.
It was like me when I'm on the other end of the court on a fast break and know there's no chance of getting involved in the play and pick up. I'm just going to stand there like, whatever, fuck
I'm
it.
I'm just going to stay here on offense.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. If you guys miss a shot, get rebounds, and pass it around, you're still going to have to come back to me eventually, so I'm just going to stay down here.
Yeah, which I think this is actually a genius move on his part and on the Dolphins' part. I think they're setting up something for the future. They're trying to set that expectation that when Cutler's out there, he's not going to give a fuck. He's going to sit their hand on hips. So a couple more times of that, then late in the year, he's going to all of a sudden start like that and then break off down the field, and no one's going to cover him because they've used to seeing him stand there. So this is the long con.
Wait until week 17 when the 3-12 Dolphins win their fourth game of the season. Yeah. On a trick pass back or throwback.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But with going back to the whole vote of confidence thing, I don't think Cutler gives a fuck if he gets vote of confidence.
No,
because, I mean, this is just a one-year thing, supposedly, for him. So I don't think he cares at any point.
$10 million no matter what.
Yeah, and even if he gets cut at some point in between, he'll get whatever money he gets and get out of there. So he has, there's no incentive for him to really give that much of a fuck, especially if the season goes in the in the tank and they are actually out of it early on. Like, what is his motivation to really go all out? Like, he has no loyalty to this program, and he's got he's not playing for his next contract. So,
and even if he were to, unless he's a cancer in the locker room, there's no reason to get rid of him because who's their back? Is it Matt Moore? Is that who it is?
Yeah, Matt Moore.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Matt Moore gives you this in this division. It could be up in the air. You don't know what's going to happen in that division. The Jets are now 2-2 out of nowhere. People thought they were going to go 0-16.
Yeah.
The Jets are 2-2. Not that they're going to stick around.
I think people met the Giants when they said 0-16.
But the Bills are looking pretty tough. The Patriots aren't as strong as they used to be. This is all shaping up for one of those years. If this is what the Dolphins were hoping for, they're not getting the play out of Cutler they had wanted, but that's why they brought Cutler in, because they could probably see there might be a shot at the division this year when there usually isn't. But yeah, there's no reason for them to cut bait with Cutler unless he's just causing problems, because you have to pay him the money anyway.
Yep. Yeah.
So this vote of confidence isn't necessarily the kiss of death, but it is funny that in week 4, when they've only played 3 games so far, that Smokin' Jay is already having his job questioned.
We'll just blame this one on London. These are all fluke games anyways, just because of London.
That's right.
Tears apart elite quarterbacks, just like Flacco last week.
I just had a really good London cigarette joke, but so I don't want to mess with.
I know. I had that same exact thought. I was going to say it until you said that.
So overall, it was a pretty good football weekend. But Witty had some bad picks in our previous episode. He went 0-3 against the spread this weekend.
That's second
and
week in a row, right?
Currently sitting in last place at 2-7 on the season.
Ooh. So what do you want to do for your losing bet?
Well, last week I proposed that I go through the embarrassment of having you guys pitch in to buy me dinner. So I'm still willing to do that. I mean, that's I'd have to swallow my pride and suck it up and take that, because I mean, nobody wants their friends to buy them dinner. But
charity?
Unless the folks out there in the social media world can think of a better idea. I mean, that's kind of what I'm landing on right now.
I think we take you to dinner somewhere where they only serve Pepsi, and you have to order a soft drink.
You motherfucker.
And it has to be a Pepsi. And you have to like it.
Loser has to beer bong a Pepsi.
God.
That actually sounds painful.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
I'd rather beer bong razor blades, I think.
Yeah.
At least that would end.
Yeah.
You'd have to live with the embarrassment of beer bong and Pepsi your entire life.
So the other standings are Mac and I are 5-4, and then Hefe's in the lead at 6-3.
Yeah, buddy.
You better start putting some money on these picks, Hefe.
I know. I've got insiders.
So I did say last week when I picked the Browns over the Bengals that, you know, since I picked the Browns, the Bengals are probably going to come out and win by 4 touchdowns. It almost came true. They won by 24 points, so.
Well, apparently that's close now, huh?
Hey, I was only off by 4. You were off by 9. Anything within a touchdown's close, asshole. So my moral of the story is I'm going to pick against the Bengals every week, and that plus the black jerseys pretty much guarantees a win every single time.
Yep.
So you're more worried about the Bengals season than your own win-loss record, apparently, which is, you know, that's very selfless of you.
Very noble.
I feel like if I go 2-1 from here on out, I'm still probably going to end up winning. So I'm going for both.
What if you go 0-3 2 weeks in a row?
That's just, you know, giving you guys a little bit more of a chance.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You're going to need it.
Your Buckeyes roll just like we thought they would.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say about it. I think Barrett looked better in the passing game. I think he's getting his confidence back. And it was good to see Mike Weber back and kind of actually contributing. He looks like he's 100% now, and he's catching up on some missed time. He had 3 touchdowns. So, not a lot to say in a 56-0 blowout.
Just glad James Gandolfini wasn't around to see this massacre.
Yeah.
That's right. I know.
I mean, Rutgers walked into a room covered in plastic. That's essentially what happened.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that coin, UC looked absolutely like trash.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
I unfortunately didn't get to see much of the UC game. I watched a little bit of it, but I had other stuff going on Saturday night, so I didn't get to see a ton of it.
Unfortunately?
Yeah, I like watching football.
No. Jesus.
We'll cut that.
Keep it.
Yeah, that was not a fun game. That was the beatdown that I don't know that I anticipated that from Marshall, but you knew they were going to take their lumps at some point this year from a team that probably didn't on paper look like they should beat them like that.
We thought that was going to be Michigan.
Yeah, they hung with them for a little
on
while.
On paper.
Yeah. And then, yeah, but you know, the random conference game that you think, oh, the Bearcats, they got a shot at just... I mean, if you looked ahead at the schedule after that Michigan game, or after the Navy game, if you look at the schedule, pretty much every game you could say the Bearcats have at least a shot.
Right.
Because the conference is weak. Marshall's not necessarily a powerhouse. But then, I mean, they just got destroyed by Marshall on their home field, so I don't know that. I mean, it's no secret that Tuberville left the cupboard bare for Fickell.
It would have been a sellout game.
Don't let Urban Meyer hear you say that.
You didn't show up, Mac.
I know I didn't. I got to Clifton. I drove around Clifton. Couldn't find anywhere to park. Decided I didn't feel like being at a game when I felt like shit. So I was like, you know what, whatever. I'm just going to go home and watch this at home. And I did. I kept looking at my one empty seat on TV every single time they would scan the crowd. I'm like, that's where I'd be sitting.
So I think this is a fair question to start asking now. Is Luke Fickell on the hot seat?
I think he's got to be. Maybe they can bring back Butch Jones.
There you go.
After he gets canned in Tennessee.
He might be updating his resume pretty soon.
I think he's going to have to be. Although I think, Witty, you're the fake news that Butch Jones talks about. I didn't see it. I didn't actually watch the video, but apparently that was part of one of his press conferences, was calling the reports of his job being in jeopardy, fake news and everything. And then he got beat 41-0 at home. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia is a great football team, but holy crap, 41-0.
You should never get beat that bad at home.
Yeah.
When you're a team like Tennessee.
Mac, you pointed it out on Twitter. I think this is probably 100% directly related to their choice of uniforms, which, again, that's a recurring theme here at Milliron Sports. We're soothsayers when it comes to predicting outcomes based on uniforms. And you said they're going to get demolished because they're gray uniforms, and you're not wrong. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I was very, 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 like, razor razor thing close to my prediction of the final score of 50-0.
That's the thickness of your razor. It's no wonder you have a full beard.
Yeah. And I feel bad last week when we were talking about the Adidas scandal with college basketball. For some reason, I still thought Tennessee was an Adidas school. Apparently they're Nike. Mm-hmm. Because I mentioned Tennessee is one of the schools that was possibly getting hit with this Adidas stuff. There was an Adidas player that I guess had been trying to decide between. I thought maybe Tennessee, but now I don't know who it was. But yeah, Nike's ruining college football's rivalry games like crazy. This Georgia-Tennessee rivalry was a garbage game because of Tennessee's gray uniforms. UK's meltdown was simply because of the gray uniforms.
Yep.
The DB was so embarrassed to be on the field in those gray uniforms. Yeah, he said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm not going out on the field wearing this shit.
Yeah. Someone got a blue hoodie I can throw over this trash.
So let me throw this out there. You know, any college football coaches out there that need some advice on what to wear to ensure that they can, you know, win. Or this goes, I guess, to NFL teams as well. You know, hit up Mac and I because, you know, we know this shit. So we'll let you know what uniform combination gives you the best chance at winning. Just, you know, hit us up. Mm-hmm. And while you're at it, subscribe to the podcast because we're going to give you our answer in the podcast. And, you know.
But only if they leave a review with their contact information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just pictured those two old men, grumpy old men Muppets, giving uniform advice. That's essentially what me and Witty would be.
Yeah. Yeah, in my mind, Oregon goes winless every single year. But
I think the only new trend in uniforms that I'm okay with in some circumstances is the matte finish on helmets. Yeah. That looks good in some instances. It doesn't look good in every instance, but there's some that it looks really good. Oh, man. Well, keep it in the SEC. LSU, they weren't wearing gray uniforms. But they got embarrassed by Troy on their home field. It was in Death Valley. They paid just a little bit under $1 million for Troy to come play them.
That's crazy.
And Troy beat them. So you see this happen every now and then. It seems like it's one of the first few weeks of the season when it does happen. So to have this one, not in the meat of the college football season, but you know, far enough in that it was a shock to the world. It was pretty funny to see, especially the way it unfolded and all the other games were going on.
What was the final score?
I forget what the final ended up being. It was, at one point, it was like 17-0, wasn't it?
I think it was a close one.
I figured it was probably a close one.
At one point, Troy was winning 17-0, I think.
24-21 was the final. Yeah.
Jesus.
But
and
yeah,
at one
they,
point, it was 17-0.
Yeah. So... Yeah, Troy's 4-1 now. So, I mean, I don't think that they've actually played anybody other than LSU, but still, to win.
Them Pox doping Aztecs are 5-0 now.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you, man. But yeah,
secret.
It's crazy how LSU's fallen because, I mean, they had that loss to Mississippi State earlier in the year, and they dropped a little bit in the top 25, but they still hung in there. And that. Everyone jumped Mississippi State up into the top 25 because of that, like, pretty high.
They're back out now.
Yeah, they're back out now, and I think what this really tells you is that LSU just wasn't as good as people expected because they're out of the top 25 now, too, and Coach O's struggling down there in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. I like Coach Ogeron. It sucks to see him get beat like that, but it also, anytime you get him on a mic is worth it. So if he has to start defending himself in press conferences, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer he's going to last as the head coach if they keep getting upset like this.
No. Yeah, because he was brought in to rectify the mess that was left after Les Miles was probably fired. I don't understand why he fired Les Miles. I know they had some down years or had some rough years, but didn't necessarily seem like the right play if you didn't have the new coach in waiting.
I think part of it comes down to just the money they were putting into maintaining the field with him eating the grass all the time. So they had to get him out of there. That's right. That was one of Les Miles' favorite things, just eating blades of grass.
Yep. What a weird dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that, when you're getting rid of, this is completely off topic, but when you're getting rid of a coach like Les Miles, you can't just have no plan in place and bring in Ed Ogeron out of like to be a stopgap.
Right.
You have to have. I mean, not that Bob Stoops was necessarily fired or was, you know, was planning on leaving, but they kind of, they knew who was going to be taking over that Oklahoma program after he was there for so long, and you see that in a lot of big big storied programs when guys aren't, like Florida State, you saw it there. So it's not necessarily fair to LSU.
Coach O was in the movie The Blind Side. People forget
He was.
I haven't seen that movie.
Wow. It's okay. Yeah. It's about a Ravens player.
Yeah.
It
bites people.
Fuck them.
But,
yep.
Well, I know that everybody looks for a bargain nowadays. There was a bargain to be had down in Tuscaloosa this weekend if you had $8 free in your budget. which, I don't know, maybe that's a lot of money in Tuscaloosa. I've never been.
That's two cans of Skull, man.
It is. Yep. But he, you could get into, I don't know, whatever Alabama Stadium is called. You can get into the game for $8 the other day on StubHub. And when you think of Alabama,
shit, that's a cheap date night with your sister.
When you think of Alabama, you think of a storied program, and Saban has been vocal before that he gets annoyed when people leave the stadium at halftime when they're blowing teams out. It's gone a step further now, and I think it was the nerd Darren Revell that talked about this. He said now it's going a step further, and it's getting cheaper to get into the games because nobody even wants to go to the game. Unless it's going to be a good game. Like, I think they were playing, was it Ole Miss this week they played?
Yeah.
They played, yeah. So, they
beat,
I mean,
they destroyed them, too. I think they put up, like, 60-plus on Ole Miss.
So, Alabama has essentially become so good that they're boring for their fans, and they don't even want to go to the games unless they think it's going to be a meaningful contest, which, it's hard to blame them. I mean...
That this happens at other big programs. Like, in Columbus, I don't think that the Shoe really ever has a problem selling out.
No.
So, I mean, to say that it's something that's going on in Alabama is one thing, but I don't think that it's... And it might be something that we see as a trend going forward, because the couch experience for a football game is, to me, far better than actually going to a stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of going to the Bengals games, really. I'd rather sit on my ass and watch it from my house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. When I get offered Bengals tickets now, it's kind of a chore. Like, you're like, do I really want to deal with that? Do I want to go down there? And then you miss the second half of the afternoon games, and then...
Yep.
It's... Or the first half of the afternoon games. You get home just in time for the second if you catch traffic, right?
I bet that this is going to be a trend that we start seeing where... It becomes cheaper and cheaper to get into the stadium in general.
Yep,
and that's what I think the main difference is between Major League Baseball and in the NFL is it seems like it's so much easier to pull you into a baseball game, and because I genuinely enjoy going to Reds games, even though I didn't go to one this year, I just realized that.
Really making your case.
I realized today that I didn't go to a single Reds game.
I really enjoyed going to the gym.
Yeah, me too. I really enjoyed doing this podcast with you guys. I'm not going to do it anymore after this. This is my last show.
This is a swan song.
But I just think when you go to Reds games, there's so much more to do than watch the game. I think that's because
fucking baseball's boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't at me, fucking baseball nerds.
The best fan experience to me is hockey. Like, when we lived in Columbus, like, I loved going to the Blue Jackets games.
Yep.
But you still had that same, you got to go down there, fight traffic, whatever. But it was worth it to me to watch the hockey games. And you could watch it on TV still, but I just feel like the in-arena experience is a lot better with hockey. They do a better job of keeping the fans engaged. You know, football games, baseball games, there's really not a lot of that. So... I would much rather watch that stuff from my couch. And now, it doesn't matter who's playing. I fall asleep on the couch while I'm watching. I fell asleep during the Bengals game. I dozed off during the Buckeyes game. So you can't do that at the stadium.
Only if you're too drunk.
People do it.
Yeah.
So, Mac, I don't know if you saw it over the weekend talking about stadiums selling out. the Los Angeles Lakers actually sold out their first preseason game against the Minnesota Timberwolves because it was Lonzo Ball's first actual game in a Lakers uniform that's not Summer League. So yeah, the Lakers sold out the Staples Center for a preseason basketball game, which is insane. They didn't end up winning the game, but your Nuggets ended up beating the Warriors.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they did. They upset the Warriors. They set the tone in the West. I think it's the Nuggets conference now, honestly. I don't know.
It's got to be.
But the thing now is, they've got the targets on their back. They're going to get everybody's best shot. So look for the Nuggets to really, have a hard time of it. But I agree. At this point, I don't see anybody that can beat them.
I heard Kevin Durant was talking about a requesting a trade to Denver. He sees them as the team to jump on right now. I don't see Oklahoma City adding a fourth piece to make themselves any better. So, I don't see. Paul Millsap, I think it was his first action as a Nugget. He had a good showing. I didn't watch it because it was on some weird. It was on the local Colorado station, and then if you had the NBA pass, you could watch it. So I didn't see anything other than just the quick snippets of what happened. But it sounded like the Warriors showed a little bit of rust. But
yeah, there was one play that I saw repeatedly where they ended up putting like 4 3-pointers in one play. They just kept getting the offensive rebound and then passing it back out to a guy and then missing. It was some pretty ugly basketball for a while there, but that's what the preseason's for, is to get this shit over with and make sure that they're ready to hit the ground running at the end of October when it all starts up.
And I jokingly say that it's the Nuggets conference. Now, I still think the Nuggets are in that 6-8 team. Like, they're still going to be.
Yeah.
And they're going to be fighting to get into the playoffs, but.
I don't know, but man. The road to the Western Conference goes through Denver.
Well, a lot of the players probably wish it did.
So, going back to the Lakers game, there were some pictures that I saw that came out over the weekend that before Lonzo's first game, LeVar was actually in the stands taking pictures and shaking hands with people, and there was a line probably 60 or 70 people deep just waiting to give LeVar, a handshake and get their picture taken with him.
Whose line was bigger, Ice Cube's at the Big Three or LeVar's at Staples Center?
Man, that's got to be close. Just looking at the – I saw like a video of it and a picture, but LeVar's almost looked longer.
Yeah, and Witty, for you, that you weren't blessed to be down in Lexington with us for the Big Three, every stoppage, the security guards would – it'd be like the parting of the Red Sea, and everybody would flood the aisle that – Ice Cube was sitting right at the end of, and they'd sit there and try to get a picture and everything with him. And then as soon as game started, they made everybody leave and everybody scattered. It was like cockroaches, like
that's funny.
Scattering when a light turned on, because they were like, you're not allowed to stand in the row. And then everybody would sit on the edge of their seats on the row. And as soon as they would see like the signal for a TV timeout or something, like everybody would just fly to the aisle again. It was pretty funny to see.
It really was.
But that's pretty cool. I'm surprised he wasn't charging for pictures.
Yeah. I know. The way that his prices, with his pricing model for the rest of his shit.
$395 for a picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I saw I wanted to mention about the Lakers game was Tyler Ennis, who's like a backup point guard for the Lakers. I posted a picture of it today on Twitter, which I'll share it again. But those Nike jerseys don't look like they're very durable.
No.
He barely got grabbed on the back, and his letter just ripped completely off. Like, and it was like the letter and part of his jersey, almost like a square, came off. So I don't know how well these Nike jerseys are going to hold up. I made the joke that they look like the old tearaway NFL uniforms.
Yeah.
And I wondered about that when I saw the design of the uniforms. They looked like that really thin material. Like
Yes.
Almost like the dry fit, loose fit shirts are made out of. Or if you've ever run like a 5K or something, the shirt they give you in the bag. No. But they look like that material. So
yeah.
I never really thought too much of all this is going to get ripped off a dude's back like it did in the game last night.
Yeah, first preseason game. Not looking good.
I could see him like wearing out pretty quick and things happening like that. But Yeah, I don't know. Nike will have to address that if it becomes an issue and guys are just getting the jerseys ripped off their backs every night. But
J.R. Smith prefers it.
If I'm an advertiser, I start, you know, used to see this in boxing and MMA. They do the airbrush tattoos on their backs and stuff. I start airbrushing my logo on someone's back knowing there's a good chance their jersey's getting ripped off. So
there you go. So
like on LeBron's dong when he got shown on TV.
There's nice. DB with that penis talk again.
Yeah, man.
I'm a fan.
Nobody loves a good dick like DB.
Speaking of dicks, Witty, you got a confession for us.
Yeah, so we talked about the people standing in line for LeVar's autograph. And it kind of it made me think of a confession that I had from this past weekend. So we all play video games, you know. We've grown up with video games, and one thing I see a lot of that I've always thought was just absurd is people, especially grown adults, standing in line at midnight waiting for that newest video game release. And I've bought video games like the day they came out, but like I've never done the whole like I'm going to go at midnight and stand in line. On Friday night at midnight, I was standing in line for the SNES Classic that just got released.
Oh, nice.
I didn't get it. I did, the store I went to didn't have much stock in it. And it was kind of like a last-minute thing. Like, I knew it was coming out, and I had to go to the grocery store anyway. So I was like, I'm just going to, you know, see what I can do. So I got there at like 11:30. There were about 15 people in line in front of me. The store that I went to had maybe like 6 or 7 in stock. So like I said, I stood in line for maybe about an hour total. That's the thing that pissed me off about it. I don't think they did it very well. They didn't tell people how many they had. They just, once it hit midnight, they started ringing everybody up individually, and we didn't know they were out until they sold the last one.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, but it's something, like I said, I've always made fun of those people that go and stand in line, especially grown adults, to get video games. But I found myself being that person on Friday night.
If it makes you feel any better, you know, last year when the Nintendo Classic came out, my wife, you know, ended up doing a ton of research and finding one at a Walmart like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And I think we've played it like 5 times since then, so.
Well, I knew full well that I was not going to play it very much, but it's just the novelty of having it. I'm like, I got to get that, so.
Right.
But I didn't.
Well, if it makes you feel any better and less like a nerd, back when I was dating my now wife, when we were just dating, I stood in line. I think it was a book. Maybe it was a movie. One of the Harry Potters.
Really?
Yeah, I went. Oh, we showed up God. At like 10 o'clock, and they gave you the little wristbands of like whatever house you were in, and that was the line you had to go sit in.
Nice.
I don't even remember which. I don't remember if it was a book or a movie, but.
Oh, which character did you dress up as?
Oh, man. Hermione.
Nice.
Yeah. Slutty Hermione.
Speaking of sluts.
Hugh Hefner, dead. Sucks. The Viagra industry took a hit. I hope they can rebound.
Viagra.
Viagra.
That's how he would always pronounce it when he would talk about it. Viagra.
He left his current wife out of his will.
Well,
did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
But
sort of.
He's had probably a dozen of them, hasn't he?
And apparently, I don't know how true it is. I just could saw a headline that maybe his neighbor's getting his house.
Really?
How sweet would that be? Like, I wonder if Johnny Drama's allowed there now.
Poor drama.
It's weird. I forgot he was still alive when I found out he was dead. I mean, if somebody would have said, "Hey, is Hugh Hefner still alive?" I would have thought about it. I'm like, "Yeah, he's still alive." And then when he died, I was like, "Well, wait a minute. I thought he died already, or we knew he was going to die like soon." I don't know.
Is Larry Flint still alive?
I don't know.
Yeah, like we. Have
I
no
think so.
Idea.
I think so.
Is he?
I don't remember.
That smut peddler.
But yeah, that R.I.P. Hugh.
You know, so many people were, you know, like sending their thoughts about Hugh, and I didn't really have an opinion of him as like a person.
Yeah.
because the business that he's in is kind of seedy and shitty. But, you know, there's always that, like, when you're, like, a 14 or 15-year-old seeing your first Playboy, you know, you still have that memory of of that, even though it's kind of gross.
Wait, you're not supposed to be able to look at that till you're 18.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I found my my friends.
I'm going to report you. I think you might be going to jail, DB.
Oh, shit.
But no, I don't know. It's
I mean, when you think about like him, he's kind of gross. Like, and I don't, you know, you don't want to talk about, you don't talk bad about a dead guy, but he's gross.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was actually sick or if there was anything. It was just one of those. He was 91 years old and he just died or what? But
right,
because you used to hear about him in the news of is the Playboy Mansion for sale? And I thought it had sold at one point, but they said he could still live there or something. But I guess that never happened. I don't know, but I don't know. I've been this whole time. I've just been dragging out this conversation, trying to think of if you're stiff for more than 4 hours joke, but. I can't come with anything. So, yeah, I thought I'd make a rigor mortis joke, but couldn't figure it out. So, just imagine something really funny was just said for everyone out there. So, something else, I mean, changing subjects, but I don't know. I guess it involves butt play a little bit sometimes, too. The MMA. I don't know, some of those positions when they're putting people in submission holds, I'm like, man, that's how does it not move a little bit even though it's another dude? But a guy somewhere over in England, I think, in some it wasn't part of the UFC, but it was some MMA competition or a fight. This guy, he used Chris Jericho's finishing move, the Walls of Jericho, on his opponent and actually got him to tap out for the victory.
And it worked.
And it's just funny to see, because, I mean, obviously when Jericho puts somebody in the Walls of Jericho, he's not torquing back on his legs as hard as this guy was.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny just to see a finishing move from WWE, which
actually make someone tap out.
Yeah, make somebody tap out. Like, when are we going to see the sharpshooter? Like, that would be fucking sweet.
Yes.
Or is next time that Brock Lesnar's in UFC, is he going to rock bottom someone maybe? Like, I don't know.
And that's the crazy thing. Can you stun him?
I don't know. Is that an illegal move, stunning somebody?
Yeah.
So, again, a little off topic, but kind of the same lines as seeing a wrestling move pulled off in a legitimate sport. I saw this weekend, someone just like retweeted a clip on Twitter I saw. In a high school game, some kid powerbombed another kid. Like, you see people like suplex like to tackle sometimes.
I did see that.
But like this kid literally like picked him up and like he was upside down and slammed him down on his head like in the middle of the game.
It was in Tennessee.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like
I didn't see like the aftermath of that play, but I really I wish the camera had kept rolling to see what happened to that kid, because there's no way he just got away with that.
No, it literally stopped. Exactly like, the as same he hits thing the
I
ground. Thought.
I was like, I wonder what happened.
Are you sure you weren't just watching The Waterboy on HBO or something?
That's probably what it was.
He powerbombed someone in the Bourbon Bowl.
Remember when Bobby Boucher came back and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl?
That's a Joe Montana.
But no, that was funny. It's led to a bunch of, you know, dub overs of JR, Jim Ross doing his call. And it's just been funny. I saw Jericho even acknowledge it on Twitter about how funny the whole situation was. But good on that guy. I don't know if it was one of those deals where it just... I doubt he went into the match thinking, if I can put the Walls of Jericho on somebody, I'm going to. But
I think he might have. I think it's one of those things, like, you've got to have it in your head, like, one of these days, like, I'm going to hit this if I can get in the right situation. And he happened to get in the right situation. And
I mean, and if you look at it, it looks like if I'm trying to figure it out, like, how it would feel. It almost feels like it would make your quads feel like they're going to rip out of the front of your leg. Or, like... Mm-hmm.
It's just funny because it's like if one of us, like any one of us, was just at, you remember the ice fights we used to go to back in the day, Like, if we just randomly got pulled into to the octagon, that's probably what our mentality would be. Like, well, what finisher am I hitting from WWE? Well,
this guy wasn't crying and shitting all over himself, so I doubt that's what I would be like. So.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about people trapped in a cage, someone who's no longer behind bars, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah,
it's good to see the good guy finally catch a break.
Yeah.
he finished his 9 years of his, 33-year sentence. They figured that was enough.
Armed robbery.
Yep, which I think that armed robbery situation was like when you see a makeup call in a football game.
Right, yeah.
They're like, yeah, we let him away with the hold on the last play, so here, we're going to hit him with a stupid, like, illegal motion here, just to make ourselves feel better about the whole situation. And his 9 of his 33 years of the armed robbery is nothing compared to the 0 of life that he deserved for the murder. But
I think it's crazy that he's 70 years old already.
Yeah, and I think... Yeah,
I mean, he looks it.
Yeah. Yeah, he dresses it.
Yeah.
You see, he's wearing the jean from literally the top of his head all the way down to his ankles, covered in denim. And then the plain white shoes. And I think, I don't remember if it ever made the cut of a podcast or if it's something that we talked about off air or something that had been cut out. But Whitty, you had talked about previously, OJ has been, even though it's only been 9 years, that has been a very big 9 years of our society as far as the advent of a lot of the social media stuff.
Yeah.
Really, he was put into prison when the iPhone was in its infancy, so he probably has never had the iPhone. And I think you had said, like, it's going to be fun to see him get Twitter for the first time, especially since he said one of the things that he might do is blog. Like,
yeah. It's going to be like when Austin Powers first gets, like, thawed out and he's, like, in the future trying to figure out, like, what's going on.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine OJ trying to learn how to use an iPhone and Twitter at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going to get so many awesome, like, DMs that weren't meant to be public.
Like, hey, yo, I really did do it.
Yeah. Come on, girl.
Like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank when he gets out. World went and got itself in a damn hurry.
Like, there's all those fake accounts, and he'll follow fake Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Be like, yo, I did it. It's not really him, Juice.
Johnny Cochran's dead.
Hey, Chloe, it's dad.
Yeah, seriously. That's what I did see someone talk about that. Like, oh, this is interesting. Find out Khloe Kardashian's pregnant, and now OJ, who's totally not her dad, is now getting out of prison. So let's see how this all plays out. But yeah,
I wish that you had been right, Mac. I mean, we needed an OJ cam for this his entire first week. I'm sure I think it will be documented.
Yeah,
like people will be following him, but to not have that set up ready to go right now is a little upsetting.
Yeah,
yeah. And I just can't wait for the 30 for 30 on OJ's return to society.
ESPN's got enough money tied into OJ through all the other things they've done. I'm sure they'll have something on him here soon.
Mm-hmm.
They
I just hope we get another Naked Gun movie out of it.
Yeah. Well, Leslie Nielsen's dead.
I was going to say, yeah. Kind of missing the,
I'm just going to keep naming people that are
missing
dead.
The key piece there.
Yeah, but OJ, I don't know what I want him. I don't know how I want him to go back to jail. Like, it's going to happen. So, like, do we want it to be something hilarious? Or do we want it to be something boring, like I said in the blog today about, like, a violation of parole because he didn't know he couldn't leave the country? I want it to be something hilarious.
Sorry, like, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. But it would be awesome if, you know, it was just a really fucked up situation that he got himself tied up in and he was gone again. But I don't know. I think he might be out for good this time.
The America is just obsessed with this man. So, he'll be in the public eye somehow, you know, whether it's blogging like he said he wants to do or if he starts up, you know, some sort of small TV show or something, he's going to be on TV.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of reality show about him. Or if it's not a full-time thing, like a just a little like 6-episode thing, like trying to get back into the swing of things or taking a stab at a real life You know what I'm
probably
saying?
Probably run for office.
Making a Murderer 2 on Netflix.
They already got that in the works, don't they?
Yeah.
Season 3.
Obviously.
Maybe you can do a podcast for Miller and Sports.
The invite's out there, OJ, if you want it.
Then just don't ever try to come over to my house.
Let's just keep this on Skype, buddy.
Yeah.
So today is Tuesday, October 3rd, and the Cincinnati Reds are dead.
Well, I think they've been on life support for quite some time, so this comes as a shock to nobody, but...
Yeah, they finally pulled the plug.
Yeah, they've finally been put out of their misery. The 2017 Reds season is gone. Let's bury
68-94. They were one win away.
68 wins.
I saw on Twitter, and it was on Friday, so it was when they still had two games left with the Cubs. Someone said if they went out, they finished with 69 wins. If they split with the Cubs, they finished with a 420 record. So I think they finished with the 420 record, I guess.
Yeah.
Which this record is the identical record to last season, but the seasons didn't feel the same. Last year seemed like a hell of a lot more of a disappointment. This year I felt like we saw a lot more signs of what the future holds. Not that it was
a
good product.
The offense was alive this year, the entire season almost.
Yeah.
Which was good to see. It was, you know, still our pitching that was the problem.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it helps, too, that going into this season, there was a lot less expectation, too, because we kind of knew the team wasn't going to be that competitive. Yeah. Last year, I mean, we maybe should have known, but there was still kind of that hope last year.
Yeah, they gave us some false hope early on, but I think even though I was excited and thinking, hey, if they can just keep pace with the Brewers, the Cubs are sucking. I think that was a little too much optimism on my end. I knew that they were going to suck from day one, but I bought into it a little bit. And then they had that shitty month.
I count the season as a success because the Cardinals didn't make it. So,
yeah, that's always a positive.
So we know that the Reds had a really shitty season, but Joey Votto was on top of his game, playing at an MVP level the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
He played 162 games, which doesn't happen very often in Major League Baseball anymore.
Right.
He batted over 320 for the season. He had 100 RBI. He had 36 home runs. The Reds are terrible, but this guy needs to be considered for the MVP because he got on base over 300 times.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck does that?
No one. Which... Right. You know, it's unfortunate because I think he'll be in the conversation, but I don't think he finishes probably even in the top three just because of the team that he's playing on. And it's sad to say, but I think if Joey Votto performed the way he did throughout his career for a contender, like put him on like the Yankees or the Red Sox or somebody, the Cubs, Cardinals, whatever, he's probably got three or four MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got to.
They said, was it Mike Trout last year was on a terrible team and won the MVP? So it is possible, but it wasn't as wide open as the NL is this year.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of viable options for NL MVP, and I think...
Which plays into Joey's favor a lot, too. I think that a lot of...
Stealing
usually
votes
it's, you know... Yeah, a lot of other guys are going to be stealing votes, so it might not be the runaway victory you see in the MVP race a lot of times where, you know, I don't know how many voters there actually are, but let's just say around number 200. A lot of times, like 185 out of 200 are for one guy.
Yeah.
This year, it legitimately could be like 70 or 80 votes out of that 200 wins it based on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I don't know the actual split and how many people vote, but it's possible that it's going to be split up like that.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think he should be the one that wins it, but I think that just because, you know, the world is obsessed with power and home runs, that it's going to go to Mike Stanton of the Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, I still call him Mike Stanton. just because, you know, again, that's we're obsessed with power, obsessed with RBIs, and so that's what he, you know, he excels in, and so I think that's ultimately going to be his win. But
and for being a huge power hitter, his average isn't all that bad either, though. I mean, it's not like he's hitting 240, but then, like, he's not pulling Adam Dunn numbers where he's hitting 50 bombs but only hitting 240. I think he's still hitting, like, 281 or something like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And just looking at some of the numbers of the contenders, I think one of the guys that stands out to me is Blackman from the Rockies. And the fact that they squeaked into the wild card, that may kind of boost his favorite too. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if he gets it. But being a relatively unknown guy, you know, you never know. We'll see how it shakes out. But again, unfortunately, I just don't think that Votto is going to be in the, you know, top two or three in the voting.
I just hope when they make their run, because you know they're getting better, that Votto is still, you know, relevant and at that age where he can perform at this level.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. That's why I said it a couple episodes ago.
Sorry.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that Joey, you've got the legit gripe that if he doesn't win, you can say he deserved it. But if he does not get the, if he doesn't win the MVP, you can't really be like, he got screwed.
Right.
Like it's,
I'm not really expecting him to win this just because of how bad the Reds are. And that's really one of the criteria for, I mean, you should be on a winning baseball team to be considered for this. And that's one of the things that, I hate to bring Kobe into this, but I'm going to, because that's my life revolves around Kobe. If you guys didn't know that. But I mean, there were years that he was putting up ridiculous numbers on shitty Laker teams. And people were like, well, he should have been the MVP that year. It's like, they didn't make the fucking playoffs. Like, you can't, it's going to be hard for anybody to be considered MVP when your team is garbage.
Oh, so is it the most valuable player on the best team award, or is it the most valuable player award?
It's both. What's his WAR? Being
that internet idiot. Yeah, I hate that stat.
God. So this, and I don't know, I should probably look this up, and I'm a fan, but I'm not as big of a fan as you, obviously, DB.
Our podcast isn't based on stats, so.
Has Kobe ever been in a Simpsons episode?
Not to my knowledge.
I didn't know if, you know how some, I was just wondering, like, if your two worlds have ever collided with.
Magic Johnson has.
Yeah.
Kobe was on an episode of Modern Family.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that, yeah.
Was he?
But yeah. I don't think he was ever on The Simpsons, no.
I didn't know if there was ever a time where the NBA was brought into an episode of The Simpsons. You know how they do that with random, like J.J. Watt was on a couple years ago or 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, they do the cameos probably a couple times a season just to get ratings, but I don't think it's ever been Kobe.
No. SMH.
He's never been to that.
Where were you going with that it was?
Nowhere. Okay. I just was wondering.
I gotcha.
Because you were talking about how your world revolved around Kobe, so I was like, oh, like I wonder if like the Simpsons have, and like not even like truly his voice, but you know how like when they had like the All Stars, the MLB guys on, like and it's, they were drawn, but they weren't actually their voices.
I think there were some rape jokes made about him on Family Guy.
Yeah. Same network, so we'll count it.
Right.
Yeah, I really wasn't going anywhere with that. I was just.
All right.
Wondering if your worlds have ever collided.
Kobe, The Simpsons, like early 2000s rap music. I'm on top of all that. Something that I am definitely going to have 100% wrong is my World Series picks.
Me too.
If we're just throwing them out there, I'm saying Cubs-Indians rematch, and I got the Indians winning it this year over the Cubs, because fuck the Cubs.
But fuck the Indians.
Yeah, I agree. Fuck the Indians also.
So just don't pick either one.
Fuck.
I can't pick the Reds. They didn't make it this year.
I think...
You could.
I'm going with two teams that were not in this World Series last year. I'm going to go with a team that was hot all year. They fell off towards the end, but I think they're gonna make another charge to the World Series. I've got the Dodgers, and I've actually got them playing the Red Sox, because the Red Sox pitching seems to be pretty good right now. I don't know how David Ortiz is going to somehow come back mid-series and save the... Like, I don't know if you can sign someone Game 5 to come back and hit a couple bombs or not, but if he can, they will, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. All joking aside, I think that it's Boston, L.A., and I think L.A. wins it this year. Because that's what the MLB needs is I'm tired of seeing the small market teams just run shit in the MLB.
I know, it's sad.
Hefe. I am loving the two. I'm loving the two seeds. I am going Astros Nationals with an Astros victory.
You know who doesn't love that?
Who?
Fox or whoever owns the rights to the World Series this year.
Right. Yeah, I know.
History.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
shut up. I'm gonna go, I guess, a hybrid between Hefe and Mac. I'm gonna go with the Dodgers and the Astros. Nice. I think ultimately, the Dodgers end up winning it, though.
You just want to see Uncle Chaps post that damn GIF every single time the Astros win.
Yeah. I do like that GIF.
An old
it's pronounced GIF.
An old NL West matchup in the World Series. How often has that ever happened?
Yeah.
I can't think of a time that would have ever come into play. Where the Brewers have never been in a World Series where they could have played an AL team. Yeah.
So no one's digging the Rockies, huh?
I just have a hard time picking any wild card team just because they got that one game where they have to burn a pitcher, and with the short series, the first round, it's tough, I think.
It would be sweet to see the Rockies make a run, though. That's probably been almost 10 years now where they made that 13-game run to get into the playoffs, didn't they? Was that?
Yeah. I like their third baseman, Turner. I like his beard.
I like their black uniforms.
How come you didn't draft that in your fantasy draft of uniforms?
Mm.
Really?
These baseball uniforms are boring.
Big oversight there.
You're boring.
Pick the Reds.
You're the worst kind of person.
Uh-uh.
Worse than OJ.
Ooh.
But yeah, it is. And another favorite pastime of mine in the MLB playoffs is seeing all of the former Reds that are floating around. And you'll see, and a lot of times it'll be a pitcher randomly in the middle of the game.
Can't wait to hear you rant about Edwin.
God, I fucking hate Edwin. But
more than LeBron,
I'm looking for a Paul Yanish sighting. I feel like
he's got to be floating out there somewhere. Yeah,
isn't Stubbs with one of these teams? I know he's with the Rockies for a while.
He's been gone from there for a while. I know Justin
stabbed in the heart seeing Jay Bruce again.
Justin Turner was a Reds draft pick that was in their system for a long time.
I'm a fan of his. I like him a lot.
When he got traded to LA was part of that. Who did the Reds trade out there? One of their catchers. I forget who it was.
One of my favorite parts of the MLB playoffs is like flipping the game on to see like three pitches and then turning it to another station.
That's what I was saying. My favorite part of the MLB playoffs is not watching the MLB playoffs.
Until the World Series.
You know,
I'll like flip it on and be like, oh, what's the score? And then I'll see the score and I'll change it.
Yeah. I usually watch a lot of the MLB playoffs, but my favorite part of the MLB playoffs, since they seem to drag forever, is where you start to see it turn into winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see it getting colder and colder, and then everybody's obsessed with how cold it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that's all you hear about is how cold it is. But then there's always, God forbid, if the series is, I'm trying to think of who it could be this year. If it's like, say, Chicago and Houston, even though Houston plays indoors, but they, like the temperature difference between the two stadiums, you'll be watching one game on Tuesday night and guys are sitting there freezing their dicks off. And then you go down to the next game and it's like midsummer still. You saw that with, where was it, the one year the World Series, I guess it might have been in Indy or the Indians last year.
Yeah,
did it like snow towards the end of the World Series, or
I
if
think
it was
it
getting really
did,
cool
or that they're like calling for snow at some point.
And one year with the Phillies, that's when that weird hat flap thing became a thing. It was like a hybrid winter hat slash like an actual game hat, which they sell now, but
no, Giannis DB, he's with the Orioles.
Fuck.
Wait, he's still in the league?
Yeah. Drew Stubbs is a Giant.
Drew Stubbs is a free agent, yeah.
Oh, well, he must have recently been with the Giants.
But
double check you on Giannis now.
Yeah. Don't trust this motherfucker. So, yeah, 8 p.m. tonight, Twins-Yankees. And the Thursday game or the Wednesday game is Rockies at Diamondbacks.
So the first line of Giannis's Wikipedia page says that he is a former professional baseball shortstop.
We're not into facts.
No, looks apparently like not.
He played 14 games with the Orioles this year.
Yeah. Good job, Hefe.
Well, tonight's matchup between the Yankees and Twins won't have any effect directly on our World Series picks. But if you want to tell us how wrong we are as the World Series develops and throughout the MLB playoffs, be sure to hit us up on Twitter. Our main Twitter account is at Milliron Sports. In the bio for that page, you can see all of our individual Twitter handles if you're not following us already. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Milliron Sports. You'll get all of our Milliron Sports blogs, our postings, when there's a new podcast ready, a link to that. Maybe a random personal link from Witty's personal Facebook page. You never know.
I'm still learning this whole social media thing.
Yeah. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends. We're trying to make this podcast a pretty good, pretty big thing and a lot of fun to listen to. So if you have any comments, criticisms, we're not going to listen to the criticisms because you're probably wrong.
Yeah.
If you had good criticisms, you'd have your own podcast by now.
Right.
but yeah, rate, review. We only see the 5-star reviews. It's some glitch in Apple's system. And as always, check us out on the website. We're trying to do some more things over there too. Be a little more active. It is MillIronSports.com. And until Thursday, I guess we can all take pride in the fact that the Bengals got a victory. Patriots lost, and maybe when you listen to us on Thursday, we'll be previewing another Patriots loss on Thursday night.
Hoo-hoo. Hoo-day.
Bye, guys.